Amen, amen. Father, we thank you, God, for this beautiful day. God, we thank you, Lord, for your presence, God, out here on this lawn. We thank you for your people. God, we are blessed in so many ways, and even on this Father's Day, God, we are reminded that you are the one and only good and perfect Father. And so today, Lord, as fathers and also as followers of Jesus, our eyes are on you, God. We look to you, God. We thank you, Lord, in a world, God, where there's just a lot that could discourage us, we thank you that you bring light and life and hope, God. We thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you do in our lives. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen, amen. All right. Well, good to see all of you. You can go ahead and be seated. Say thank you to our worship team this morning. They're always awesome, but on a day like this, they all come early and help set up and all of that. Just appreciate them so much. We're going to do something real quickly here that I hadn't planned on doing, but I just thought this would be a good idea. We're going to have a best hat contest. Best hat. And I've already decided who the winner is because I saw this hat come in and I almost couldn't believe my eyes. But Woody Wickham, would you get over here right now? I mean, this thing. That, get over here, Woody. Come on. They got to get you on camera and the whole thing here. You could shade a family under that hat. Come on, give it up for Woody Wickham. Good job. Thanks for being a good sport, buddy. Yeah. That reminded me of, we used to have this tradition back in the old building. On Father's Day, we always did an ugly necktie contest. And this is back when more of us were wearing neckties to church, but every year on Father's Day, we gave an award for the very ugliest necktie anybody could bring. And they would, the pastor's wives would actually be the judges, and they would narrow it down to the three ugliest ties, and we'd bring those guys up on the stage, and then we'd clap to see who had the ugliest tie. Well, the last year that we did this, one of our dearly beloved church members, Ray Davis. Some of you will remember Ray. He's since gone to be with the Lord. But Ray was the grand champion of the ugly tie contest that year. And as everybody was cheering for him, he leaned over and said to me, "Pastor Tim, I forgot we were doing this today." So that takes real skill to have the ugliest tie without even trying. That's, yeah. Well, we're going to bring a word of encouragement from God's word today, and the word we're going to bring is going to, we're going to focus on fathers, but really, the principles that we're going to share this morning from God's word are principles for all of us as Christ followers. And so, if you're not a dad, you're not going to be left out today because God has a word for you, and today it's a special thing for me. I get to do something I've never done before, and that is I'm team teaching today with my son, Stephen, who just happens to be here from out of town. And so he's going to come up in just a minute and share along with me. I want to remind all of the guys that this Thursday, we have something at 6 o'clock in the morning here at the church called Men's Battle Briefing. 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock, we have coffee, donuts and the word, and then send you off to work. And it's a great time for us to get together as guys. We haven't done this. We do them every quarter usually, but we haven't done this since the pandemic. And so this is our first one back, and I'm looking forward to that. So happy Father's Day to all of you dads out there. Man, you are the unsung heroes. I believe that. I don't know if we can say enough about the importance of godly fathers. I believe that one of the societal foundations that has been breaking down in our nation is the foundation of good parenting, right? When we look at all of the advancements that we have in today's culture, we look at the advancements in technology and medicine and science and communications and all of these advancements, it's amazing to think with all of these advancements, things should be getting a lot better. But the reality is they're not. Why? Well, I believe there's two reasons for that. First of all, we need a return to God. I'll say that again. Amen. We need to return to God. Right? And secondly, and following right behind that, we need a return to the foundation of establishing good, healthy, godly, strong families. Amen? Amen. Yeah. Because where we see a generation of young people that just seems so lost and just senses any lack of purpose or direction, it's because we've failed them. We have failed these last few generations. And I believe that God is calling a new generation of young fathers to rise up and become the godly men and the godly fathers that God has designed them to be. And so this morning we're going to be talking about those things. We're going to be talking about these principles. The good news for all of us is, as followers of Jesus Christ, God is there to help us. And where none of us is a perfect father, and we certainly have a lot of shortcomings, God is the ultimate father that we look to, not only for an example, but he gives us what we need. He gives us the wisdom we need. He gives us the love we need. He gives us the direction that we need. So I'm excited to have Stephen, who not only is a great son, but he's turned into a great father. He's here this weekend with his wife, Carissa, and three of the most adorable, beautiful, intelligent, well-behaved children on planet Earth. Yes, Elizabeth turns 10 on the 4th of July. She gets fireworks for her birthday every year. Yes, Elias is just about to turn 8, and Ezra, this Saturday, is his 5th birthday. Yes. So Stephen not only is going to share today because he's been a great son, but he's a great father. So would you welcome Stephen as he comes to share the first part of this message?
Thanks, Dad. This is a lot of fun, preaching with my dad for Father's Day. As he said, the best model of fatherhood in the Bible is God the Father, and we could share a lot about him, and this sermon could go on until we've all got sunburns. But we're going to focus on just three things today from a passage in Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16, and it's a story of Jesus interacting with children. And the reason we're doing this is because we believe this passage actually shows us a little bit about the kind of father God is. John chapter 1, verse 18 says, "No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." So we believe this short story about Jesus interacting with children shows us about the kind of father that God is and the kind of fathers that all of us should aim to be. But before I'm going to read it, I want us to look at this story and this message through this lens, that God is a father with high standards, but even higher grace. And that has two implications for us dads. One is that with our kids, we should have high standards, but even higher grace. And the second one is, dads, God has high standards for you, but thankfully, even higher grace. When I think about myself as a father, it's easy for me to get down on myself and see all my failures first. And I don't know if you guys have ever done this, but sometimes I like to compare myself to like Homer Simpson or Darth Vader or Phil Dunn, I forget his name, from Modern Family, Phil Dunphy. His name, such a weird name. Anyways, I like to compare myself to some TV dads, and then it makes me feel a lot better about myself. I think, okay, I'm at least not doing as bad as Homer Simpson. I haven't strangled any of my sons yet. There go all my notes. But that's not the standard that God uses, right? Like, God doesn't judge on a sliding scale. He doesn't say, okay, you're doing better than Homer Simpson or doing better than that guy, so you're a good dad. God doesn't use a sliding scale to judge us, and we shouldn't use that scale either. So when I look at myself through God's eyes of very high standards, I see a dad who is a failure. I do fail in a lot of ways. In fact, all three of the things that we we'll talk about this morning, I would say I don't get high marks in. But God has grace for me. God has even higher grace. By his grace, he's enabled me to succeed in many ways. By his grace, he fills in the gaps that I leave. And by his grace, he can make me better. And he can help me get better in all these areas. So as we read this and we talk about the kind of dads we all should be, let's all remember that. Yeah, God has high standards. We're going to mess it up. But God has grace for us. He'll fill in the areas that we fail at, and he'll help us get better. If any of these you think, oh, I'm especially bad at, then pray today. Ask God, you know what, help me to do this better for my kids. So Mark chapter 10, verse 13, says, people were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he would them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. So from the get-go, one way that Jesus modeled the fatherhood of God for us is that he spent quality time with children. The disciples thought Jesus was too important and that his time was too valuable to waste on children. In that day, especially, children were not thought very highly of. And in our day, we're tempted to think the same way of kids. And like many of the disciples' ideas, they were half right and half wrong. Jesus' time was very valuable. And dads, your time is very valuable. But what the disciples undervalued was the importance and value of children and how valuable it would be for Jesus to spend time with kids. And fathers, sometimes we underestimate how valuable our time is with our kids. We need to spend time with our kids. We need to put our phone away, make car rides meaningful, plan fun daddy-daughter dates, take our sons camping, even if it's just one night this summer in the backyard. Push your kids on the swing. Read them books at night. Sit down and talk to them during breakfast. Spend quality time with your children. I've often asked myself, okay, but how much time should I spend with my kids? What's the right amount of time to spend with my kids? Well, first of all, that's a pretty transactional question to ask for the kind of relationship I want with my kids. I recognize that. But here are three answers I've said to myself when I asked that question. How much time should you spend with your kids? One answer would be ask God. Ask God that. Ask him when and how to spend time with your kids. Another answer I've told myself is to actually count my work hours and limit them to a certain amount. To say, okay, what's the right amount I should be spending at work? I'll stop there and go spend the rest of the time with my kids. Or if your work is a little different, like mine is right now, I would say play it by ear, but err on the side of spending too much time with your family. Because I've never met an old man who said, I wish I would have spent more time at work and less time with my family. And I've never met a mature adult say that they regret that their dad was such a family-aholic. Dads, if you've messed this up so far, God has grace for you. Ask God for his grace to forgive you. Ask God for his grace to fill in the gaps you might have left so far in your children's lives. And ask God for his grace to help you spend more time with your kids. Second way that Jesus modeled the fatherhood of God for us is that he gave children meaningful touch. Mark 10:16 says Jesus took the children in his arms and placed his hands on them. Kids need touch, and dads typically aren't great at giving it, and we need God's help to fill in that gap. I was a children's pastor here for a few years, and last year I was a PE teacher. And in both situations, I told the kids, don't run up and give me hugs and don't sit in my lap. And then last year, I had to go even further with the kids at the elementary school and say, don't even touch me. because of COVID. 6 feet apart. And it was crazy. I had to remind the kids so often of this. It was an uphill battle. I was stiff-arming these punks left and right and telling them, get away from me. You're popping my bubble. It felt like I could not reprogram how God had programmed them to need physical touch. And dads, you want to be the one to give it to them. So for my daughter, that means giving her random hugs throughout the day, cuddling with her on the couch, and sitting on her bed at bedtime. For my sons, it looks a little different. It means random fights throughout the day, wrestling them on my bed, and sometimes at bedtime, forcing hugs upon them. I often feel, though, that I don't give my kids enough physical touch because they're always looking for more. And I'll tell you, just as a confession, in my relationship with my kids, that's not what I want the overall theme to be, is that they're always looking for more from me. I don't want that to be the theme of our relationship for the rest of our lives. I want to be generous with my love and give more than enough. And so, dads, if you're like me and you're not too good at this physical touch, make it your personal challenge today to to out-cuddle your kids and out-hug them to the point where it makes them feel uncomfortable instead of you. And we all need God's help with that. So if that's your thing, pray and ask God to help you be more physical. Start small. Start with some pats on the backs and some messing up their hair or whatever. Out-cuddle your kids. A third way Jesus modeled the fatherhood of God for us is that he spoke encouraging words to children. And I don't think this is one of my dad's primary love languages, to be honest. I don't think it's the way that he naturally receives love or the way he naturally gives love. But I've got to say, he does incredible at this. And he's kind of a model for us dads in that way, is that even if some of these aren't your natural love language, you need to get good at them if it's what your kids need. And they need all these things. I need encouraging words, and my dad has always been good at giving me encouraging words from when I was a little kid until now. So, Dad, come on up and close us out. Give him a round of applause. He's a great dad. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you, son. That was probably the most amazing sermon I've ever heard my entire life. So, yes, so the end of the passage that we're looking at this morning says, and Jesus took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. So Jesus is literally speaking words of blessing over their lives. And there's twofold power in that. First of all, there's power just in the fact that these kids are hearing this from Jesus. They're hearing these words from Jesus. And by the way, this is why one of the reasons it's so important for us as followers of Jesus Christ to spend time in his word and spend time in his presence, because the Lord will speak into your life. And when God speaks over you, when God speaks into your life, it's like nothing else, right? And these children hear the words that Jesus is speaking over them. But I believe there's a second power in that our words actually do have spiritual power and authority. That the blessings we speak aren't just nice words of encouragement. There's actual spiritual power and authority in the words that we speak. Now, this is something we don't really practice a lot in our culture. Maybe it seems kind of weird to people. Maybe people see it as being kind of superstitious. Or perhaps we have just forgotten that our words really do have power. Proverbs 18:21 says this, the tongue has power, the power of life, and the power of death. Think about that. We literally can speak life. Your words have the power of life. But then the other part is true too. The tongue has the power of life and death. So one harsh, critical word can stick out, right, in a young person's heart and mind. So it's so important. And I know that all of us, fathers, non-fathers, mothers, all of you, all of us, we've certainly failed in this area at some point in our lives where we've spoken things that we wish we wouldn't have. And as Stephen was saying, thank God for his grace in this area, but also thank God that he can help us. He can help us grow in that area, and we don't have to continue on down that track in our lives. Proverbs 15:4 says this, "The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit." Proverbs 16:24, "Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones." Wow, what imagery. The sweetness of honey. That's our words on their ears and their heart and their mind. It's sweetness. It's nourishment. It's encouragement. It's strength. It's wind in the sails. That's what our words can do. And so I just want to encourage us today as fathers, let's become just generous with speaking words of blessing over our children. Now I'm to the point in my life where I'm speaking blessing over my children still, but I've got 8 grandchildren, 1 on the way July 6th. I've got 9 grandchildren that I can speak blessing over in my life right now. And this is how I see my season right now is as a grandfather. It's my time now to speak words of blessing and give that, pass that blessing on to my grandchildren, to pass on to them the testimony that I have about how Jesus came into my life and he changed my life, to be able to share with them the journey that Janice and I have been on and how God has blessed us and God has provided for us and led the way. These are great stories that I can share with our grandchildren, but I can also just speak the blessing of what I know about Jesus over them. And so I want to encourage us today, no matter where we're at, to ask the Lord to help us to speak those words of life and words of encouragement, whether you're a father or not. We could all grow in that area. Can you say amen to that? We could all be better at speaking truth and speaking life. And in our culture that's so full of death and discouragement and disappointment and bad news, let's speak out the good news of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So we're gonna close with a time of prayer. And I'm going to ask the worship team to come on back up. And they're going to lead us in another song here that reminds us of the Father heart of God. And as we sing this song, let's give thanks to the Lord for being the one good and perfect Father. All of us had imperfect fathers. Some of us had fathers that are just more imperfect than others, for sure. But one thing is true. We all have a heavenly Father that's absolutely perfect in his love for us. So let's give thanks to the Lord for the fatherhood of God as we sing this next song. Would you stand back up this morning and let's sing this song to the Lord.